I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Narrators!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. The Raiders, beaten up and bloodied, unluckiest team in football. Game moved 2 days back, advantage Browns, travel all the way to Cleveland. It was ugly. It was slow. It was weird.
It was beautiful.
But on the leg of Daniel Carlson, the Raiders get the win 16-14 over the Browns. It's crazy. Playoff still a possibility. It still might actually be the case. They pull out an incredible, ugly, but amazing win in Cleveland.
Oh, man. You know, I was just telling you right before we came on the air, I don't care that it was a third-string quarterback and they were missing a bunch. We have a lot of shit going wrong with us, too. I don't care. It's all about win. Bottom line, just win, baby. Wins and losses. That's all that matters.
All right, guys, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to this video. Super chats we have now available. Chime in anytime you like. We'll be talking to you throughout the course of the entire show. This is what happens when we finally play a team that had almost as much bad luck as the Raiders did all season long, right? Like, we, again, with the Raiders, front office, half of them fired and gone preseason, head coach gone in tons of controversy, number one wide receiver going to jail because he killed somebody behind the wheel of his car, Darren Waller out, Damon Arnett cut. The Browns, okay. COVID issues, whatever. I would trade for the Browns problems over the Raiders problems any day.
Any day.
Any day.
Because those guys are coming back.
Yep.
None of those
guys are coming back.
The coaches are coming back. The players aren't coming back.
The Browns can complain. If they played any of the other 30 teams in the NFL, they can be like, all right, this sucks. Like, half our team's out with COVID. But you can't complain to the Raiders. The Raiders have had worse luck this season than the Browns. The Browns can complain. The other 30 teams can't complain to the Raiders. Nope.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. There's so many different narratives out there that you can push. The bottom line is whoever has the best 8 record or 7 records in each in each conference is going to go to the playoffs. That's it. Nothing else matters. So that's why I wanted to stop talking about all of our boo-hoo bullshit a long time ago and quit saying, oh, like, nobody cares, because nobody does care, and that's fine. We got the win today. Fucking suck it, Browns. I don't give a shit. You know, that's it. You know, you had a fucking – look, I will tell you guys this. This is complete crap. While I was at work and just talked about how this was so hypocritical, this BS and all this stuff about the game being moved, that – the NFLPA president just so happens to be the Browns center, the team that is most affected by all this, and it has to run through the NFLPA for it to go through and it to be
fine. NFL sent a memo this offseason and said, we're not going to change. We're not going to reschedule games. We're not going to do it. Never going to do it. And what happens? They moved it.
Well, the problem is the thing that I hate, I didn't want to have happen. My worst fear actually happened. The Browns got healthier, and we were missing somebody. They got a starter back on each level of their defense, a defensive tackle, a linebacker, and a safety. They got three people back, okay? And also, we lost our best DB.
Yeah. The Raiders have actually been really, really good this season when it comes to COVID. Only lost Jalen Richard and Trent Sieg, and then today, Nate Hobbs. Only three in the entire season. The Raiders have been really good about it. One of the best, cleanest teams in the league. Vic Taper, our friend Vic Taper, The Athletic, did a really, really good article this week about just the hypocrisy of the NFL moving this game. It was purely to win one over on the Players Association. That's all it was. It was a negotiating tactic to get one over on the Players Association to be able to change the new COVID protocols. That's the whole reason. Once again, the NFL, it's not fair to say in this case, the NFL was out to get the Raiders, but once again, an NFL decision would have shafted the Raiders. Originally, if it was on Saturday, we had a long week going into Denver. Now we have a short week going into Denver. Even then, the Raiders go into the dog pound and neuter the Browns.
It looked shaky, man. I wasn't happy at all with our second half, especially our offense in the second half. I was pissed. I was pissed at the offense. And I even told you, this was on Derek Carr in the offense. We stopped scoring. We gave him the ball away. And I said, okay, let's see what we can do. And I texted you and it didn't go through because I was texting so much and my phone's dog shit. But I said, look, Derek Carr has shown greatness. Very good most of the time, but he's shown greatness. But he's really inconsistent. So let's see it. And he showed it. So great job.
Captain comeback, 25th. Fourth quarter or overtime comeback.
28th,
excuse me. By Derek Carr. Captain fucking comeback.
God. And it didn't have to happen, but we were in that situation and we got it done. So look, games like this, man, I'm telling you, games like this can propel us moving forward. The things that I did like in the first half, we were getting the plays in early. He had two plays. When's the last time you heard him kill plays at the line? Well, it's been a while since he's done that shit. In the shotgun, running the ball. We'll get to this later. Peyton Barber, fucking thug. All right?
Nine yards. That guy. Yeah, he played fantastic. Backup when Jacobs inevitably always gets hurt. Nick, so things that really concerned me. Nick Mullins played really well, all things considered. We had no pass rush. Zero at all. That last touchdown pass that he threw, 5, 6, 7 seconds to throw. Like no DBs, no defensive backfield can cover receivers for that long, right? It was inevitable. He could have ran it in if he wanted to. He had so much time and so much space.
Look, major issue. I'm not trying to like pump up a team. Like I'm not trying to do the Frank Mir, right? Mm-hmm. He would like pump up his opponent after he beats him. Oh, he's one of the world's best. He's a top two in the world and blah, 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 after he already beat him. Right.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to do that. Nick Mullins, as far as third string quarterbacks go in the NFL, he's a pretty damn good third string quarterback. Him and Case Keenum are right there.
He was 20 of 30, 147 yards, a touchdown. And when you're the third string quarterback and you have the run game that the Browns do, like your job is just to not lose the game, right?
You didn't turn the ball over. That's exactly what you don't want to do as a backup is turn the ball over. He didn't do that.
Didn't turn over. Your job is basically just don't lose the game for us. Like that last drive was all him.
He did his job. Yeah. He did his job. He's a capable NFL quarterback. He's beaten us in the past. And was he with the 49ers a couple years ago?
49ers,
beat us.
Yep.
He's won games in the NFL is what I'm trying to say. He's not some slap dick out there, who was popping pimples a year ago. Like, this guy's been in the NFL for a while. And, look, it happens when you don't know what's going to happen. You travel. You don't know what you're going to get opponent-wise. The defensive front looked good. It was a great win. I'll just leave it at that.
I don't want to start the rumor that the Browns greased up their ball, but it was a weird game for the dropsies.
It's cold as hell out there, dude.
It was cold. Hunter Renfro muffed two punts. Luckily, he recovered them both. He never does that. Foster Moreau had a lot of drops. Zay Jones had a pretty big drop. DeSean Jackson had a pretty big drop. The Browns had a lot of drops too. I mean, that was a weird. I mean, if you're the Browns and you're the running team versus one of the best passing teams in football, greasing the ball probably be an advantage for you. You know what I mean?
No.
I'm not,
you know what? What was that line in?
And it even made Derek Carr fumble, and he never does that.
Yeah, right. What was the line in The Waterboy of Dan Faust? Because he didn't hold anything back. The Browns weren't holding anything back today, man. They're like, look, we probably shouldn't win this game, so let's just go out there and see what we got. Look, that's a good team out there, man. Mm. Like, all joking aside, they were missing a lot of players in their team. I'm not trying to make excuses, but it's tough to win, even when you have a deep, good roster like they do. But goddamn, man, that's a lot of players. That's a lot of starters to be out.
That's their starters and the head coach too, which obviously, of course, makes a big jump. You know, big difference. So that's the 18 players out, 8 of them starters.
The 2 top receivers, basically Hooper and Landry, were gone.
Yep.
Which makes the whole thing
even more impressive.
There's two starting tackles, starting defensive end, and a starting defensive tackle, and one of their safeties. Now they did get a linebacker, a tackle, and a safety back, but that's a lot of people throughout Hunt was out too with COVID, but he was hurt anyway. But still, man, that's a lot of people to be out. And it could, if it was one group, like, okay, all of our defensive linemen are out. Like, all right, well, we got other defensive linemen, but our starting linebackers are in. We could mix something up defensively or whatever. But this was sprinkled around, like Johnny Appleseed, sprinkled out throughout the roster.
Salt Bay.
Yeah, Salt Bay, just all the way through. And, dude, look, who gives a shit? I don't care. I don't feel sorry for him.
Did a single team feel sorry for us when we played them with all the shit the Raiders have gone through this season? No, I don't feel bad for the Browns at all. Not even kind of. Not even a little bit. Is Brandon Parker getting worse as the season goes on? Like, is more experience making him worse at football? He missed a key block when Josh Jacobs had a goal line run.
What was that holding about?
Multiple holding penalties. I mean, he's getting worse.
On the goal line, if you have a defensive end on your outside shade, okay, and he crosses your face.
And makes the touchdown
saving tackle. And you hold him, and he makes the tackle. That's okay. I don't know what to say about that.
He's so bad.
He's just getting exposed, RJ. Yes, he's not getting worse. I actually, Carl, you know I love you, buddy. You've been on the show a couple of times. You know you're my boy. But stop with this Leatherwood narrative, bro. He's not good. He is not good. He keeps saying, oh, well, Tevin Jenkins is even worse. Oh, yeah, but look at the 5 other guys they could have had, like Eichenberg or Darisaw's fucking balling out. Like, those are 2 guys. Like, if you want to reach, there's another kid that they picked up in someone picked up in the second round that's paying really well. But, like, come on, man. Stop pushing this Leatherwood narrative. He didn't do terrible today, but he got beat a couple times. And it's positive day today. And despite that right side of the line, I absolutely loved Derek Carr stepping up in the pocket and throwing.
He moved around
a lot. That's what I want to see more of. I want to see him stepping up and looking down the field to throw, as opposed to stepping up and just looking to dump off without even looking down the field. So great, great job there.
Derek Carr started off super efficient.
Really, really
accurate. Tapered off as the game went on. 25 of 38 for 236 yards. Touchdown in the opening drive. Great ball. Great catch by Bryan Edwards for that opening drive touchdown.
I've been saying that since his rookie year.
Opening drive touchdown. Red zone touchdown. Bryan Edwards touchdown. That first touchdown checked a lot of boxes that we've been looking for the Raiders to do, right? Super efficient. Beautiful. And then it tapered off after that. Obviously, Derek Carr fumbled. It's what he does. It's never going to be fixed.
That pick was ugly, dude.
And then a really bad decision. There were 2 or 3 passes to Zay Jones where I feel like they're putting Zay in the Ruggs spot, and Carr is throwing to Zay as if he's throwing to Henry Ruggs. Like, he overthrew him multiple times, and it was like, if that was Henry Ruggs, that would have been a catch. It's like he didn't adjust. Like, you're not throwing to a guy who ran like a 4.3 40. You're throwing to a dude that's like barely on our roster. Like, you got to make those adjustments.
Look, I've been calling for Carr to push the ball for down the field since on this show we started, right? I never said to be reckless with the ball. That was a reckless ball. It was a double coverage. He was bracketed low and had the safety up high. That was a terrible ball. The other ball that I called him out on,
it was a good decision. It was just really overthrown.
It was a terrible ball.
They had the angle. It should have been
more in front.
30 yards, 40 yards.
Well, another 30, 40-yard gain that should have happened was he had that one-on-one. You did, Carlos. I'm telling you, every single time. We're making the playoffs.
Carlos
still
is in fuego.
Well, Carlos, dude, I'm not going to take away from you.
Yep.
But the third down play, when he went deep to DeSean Jackson, a one-on-one coverage, the problem with that pass was he had Hunter Renfrow, wide open going across the middle. the defender got caught in the wash, kind of like in the jumble in the middle. He could have still been running. There was nobody else on that side of the field.
Yeah.
And my thing is, look, my thing is quick. I'll be quick about this. If you see, I understand the throw. You got one-on-one man-to-man coverage on the outside against D-Jack. I get it. Mm-hmm. But he has to win that route. He's not a 50-50 ball type of guy. Yeah. So he has to have won the route for you to throw it. If you're going to go there anyway, why not take a peek to see what else is there? And you can always throw the ball deep. It's almost a throw you don't have to see to throw, because you know the timing. You know who's out there. You can just let it go and see if you can get it. If that's what you're looking for, if it's 50-50 anyway. He was well covered the entire time. It was a miss, man. But what are you going to do?
It felt like a designed throw. Like, it was just what you're going to do. Because Hunter Renfrow, like, he already threw it before Hunter was open. Like, the second, like, the ball left his hand, that's when Hunter trickled out, and there's, like, nobody around him.
Yeah,
right?
But
like,
what I'm saying is
he already released the ball.
What I'm saying is this is something that Carr does at times, is he locks in. Okay, pre-snap, this is what I see. I'm going right here. No matter what, this is where I'm going. And that's why he misses guys sometimes. And I get it. You got one-on-one with your fastest receiver out there. But, I mean, he still has to win the route. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? It didn't kill us. We still won the game. I'm good with it.
Also today, Carr semi-injured, got taken down.
That looked ugly.
It looked like his right leg was what got hurt, but they reported that it was his left leg. So maybe, I don't know if they reported it incorrectly or it was a weirder injury. That's the second time he's gone down like that. He did against the Steelers too. Same exact thing. He still was able to get up. No problem. With how bad the right side of our line is, I am so shocked that that's the only second time where Carr's been like kind of hurt. Like, thank God he chose this season to learn how to move in the pocket better. Otherwise, he'd be dead.
And yeah, he'd be
Brandon Parker should be in jail as accessory to murder.
Yeah, it's I'm not gonna totally crush him, because Carr did have time to throw, and they were giving him those lanes up the middle. Leatherwood specifically, he was guiding his defender away from the pocket, and he didn't allow that spin move back on the inside, which he is extremely susceptible to. He gets the guy rips on the outside, and Leatherwood overcommits, pushing him out, and the guy spins across his face, and Carr's been creamed a couple times because of that move.
Yep.
Leatherwood didn't let that happen today. He had a nice wide open middle of the field to step up and throw the ball, but the pressures are a little bit concerning. The pressure rate that, you know, we reported on the show before, Leatherwood and Parker have the highest pressure rate among offensive linemen at 11% each. That might have gone up today. Who knows? I had
nightmares last night of Myles Garrett just doing whatever he wanted to Brandon Parker and just burying Derek Carr. Credit to scheming against him. Myles Garrett, 42 snaps, 2 pressures, no sacks. And he was in and out a little bit in the fourth quarter. Like, he got, like, it looked like a groin injury, so he didn't play the full thing. But 42 snaps, 2 pressures, no sacks. I think I think we need to give credit to Gus Bradley on that one. I'm sorry, to Tom Cable.
And
the offensive coordinators for scheming against him. Because really that was the only guy, right, that you had to worry about with their issues. And they schemed against him and it worked.
Part of getting the play in quicker is being able to identify where those players are.
Yeah.
You know, and it helps us out a lot. And I don't understand why we haven't played this way the entire year. Mm. We should play this way the rest of the year. We should get the plays in early, get those two plays in, let Carr look, see what he's got. If the first plays will work, go ahead and go with it. If not, kill it and go. And you don't even have to call the second play. You call two plays in the huddle.
Yeah.
And you kill it and you go to the next play. You have enough time to check out to shift the line one way or the other. Just more time for Carr to process pre-snap, the better. We did a good job against a good stout defense today. They show that they're good and they're not going to quit. So this was a hard fight. Like,
That's I'm with you. And we've been saying the same thing. I feel like that's a bigger adjustment for this offense than people feel, because John Gruden is so opposite of that, right? Take your time, ball control. he has like his fist, like 15 plays already decided, right? It's like opposite of what this offense has been trying to be the last three seasons. And so to make that adjustment, clearly they're capable, but it's, you know, it's, you know, like it's hard to make a streamliner do a U-turn, right? So like to completely change how like the offense's kind of core function from ball control, dedicated plays that were already pre-described to let's go fast, let the quarterback make the decisions, go, go, go. They're slowly doing it more. It's trending in the right direction, but because they're starting with a foundation of just exactly the opposite philosophy.
Well, that's how we played the first 3 weeks of the year, though. That's how we played. We had Carr. We got the plays in early. He was in the shotgun a lot. And you want to talk about the running backs?
Yeah. So, Josh Jacobs, you know what's getting bad when he gets 52 yards and you're like, oh, wow, good game by Josh Jacobs. like he had
50 yards. What?
He had 52 yards. You're like, wow, that was a good game. So I've been saying it for the last season and a half. Josh Jacobs, I love you. You're a fine back. You are a Raider. You are silver and black to the day you die. But we got to trade him.
Yeah.
He has a contract. You know, he's still on his rookie deal. After next season, he's going to be owed $10 million because he made the Pro Bowl on the corner of the rookie pay salary, right? He's gonna, and there's no way in the world we give him $10 million with the way that we can't stay healthy, all the other things. So, and not only that, but he is consistently getting outplayed by his backup. So today, Josh Jacobs, 52 yards, Peyton Barber, only 34 yards. So he outgained him. But Josh Jacobs had 15 carries, Peyton Barber had five. Peyton Barber averaged 6.8 yards per carry. Josh Jacobs, 3.5. Peyton Barber, undrafted free agent, missed one game in his entire six-year career. He makes $850,000. Josh Jacobs, first-round picked, missed 10 games in three seasons, $3.25 million salary. You're getting better production from a guy that like came off the scrap heap. Any team could have had, and you're getting better production from him than your first round multi-million dollar running back. That's a major problem. And I know what you're thinking. Okay. Maybe Peyton Barber is just really good. Maybe we're just like, oh yeah, Peyton Barber's found his stroke and maybe he's just really, really, really good. Devontae Booker outplayed Josh Jacobs last season too. Josh Jacobs averaged 3.9 yards per carry last season. Devontae Booker averaged 4.5. And then Devontae Booker kicked our ass now that he's a Giant. And when we went to New York, like, I don't want to turn this into a shit on Josh Jacobs show, but
we're not shitting on him, man. Look,
but it's just, you got to make those financial decisions smarter. Josh Jacobs is not worth the money when our backups always outplay him.
So here's my deal. If you can back it up with numbers, you're not shitting on somebody. You're just telling the truth. You're pointing out the obvious. Jacobs is not a back that we can build or help a big piece to help build an offense. He's not that anymore. He needs too much on the offensive line. Peyton Barber, even Kenyon Drake had more yards per rush.
Yep.
Like you said last year, Booker, it's the same line. And so I don't want to hear these excuses of, oh, well, his offensive line sucks. Well, Peyton Barber had the same line. He ran for damn near 7 yards a carry.
Devontae Booker last season had the same line.
A whole yard per carry more.
Yep.
Or actually more. He was 4.8 and like 3.7 or something like that. Yep. So look, it is what it is, man. And this is the type of thing that I want to start moving forward with, is we have to start looking at the production, and we have to start looking at, can this guy be a part of a great whatever, a great offensive line, a great offense, a great wide receiver crew? If they're not, then we got to cut ties and move on. We got to find those right pieces. Not to say that we have to have the very best player at every single position, but guys like Hunter Renfro, right? He's not the best receiver out there, but he serves his niche inside of a great offense.
The other guy, and one of the guys that another first round pick from that same draft class played lights out. I feel like Jonathan Abram was in every single tackle. Like every single play,
all over the place, man.
Jonathan Abram was like bouncing off of a ball carrier. He balled out today from beginning to end. When the defense like started looking like it was getting tired, he looked like he was like reaching another gear. He played absolutely fantastic.
What was his stat line today?
Only 9 total tackles, 2 tackles for losses. But there were some really big tackles. He led the team in tackles with 9. KJ Wright had 8. And again, not a lot of total tackles from our defense. But that's because the defense wasn't on the field anywhere near as much as it's been the last few last few games.
Yeah, and we were getting them off the field, and you know they weren't converting a lot of third downs. It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. If we could keep him in the box, which is what we wanted to do. We were daring them to throw. If we can keep him in the box, he can do stuff like that. You know, he can get in there and he can make stuff. We can blow stuff up. Corey Littleton, we got to find a way to get rid of this motherfucker, dude.
If anyone's got $15 million, they want to donate to his salary cap in dead money, please.
Corey, I can't think of a better way to spend $15 million. He had one tackle, and he got burned badly on a touchdown pass where the guy stepped out of bounds. So I guess they're calling that a pass defensed.
In all fairness, like, he was in perfect position, but...
But he didn't make the play. What do you want to do? He didn't even have to turn his head around.
That was an amazing... If that tight end would have just, like, kept his toe in, like, that was an amazing catch. Like, that was pretty hard to... In all fairness, like, look, I'll shit on Corey Littleton as much as the next guy, and he deserves all of it, but that was a clean, pretty catch, dude. That was pretty nice.
We didn't get much pressure on...
David Njoku was the was that one. And he was only in there because Divine Diablo was out for like a series or two. Like, he was a little injured, out for a little bit in the third quarter, came back in the fourth.
Yeah,
but think about it. Your $15 million linebacker has been replaced by a rookie who's played 2 games. Think about that.
You know what? I love it. I love it, Bradley. The best players play. That's it. I don't care about your contract. Your contract ain't making plays.
Congratulations to Derek Carr. It's now his 4th straight year of 4,000 yards or more passing. This was the most like Derek Carr game ever, right? He fumbled, he passed the 4,000 mark, and then still drove us to it for a game winning drive. Like, all of his warts, all the things like good about him, all the things bad about him, all on display today.
Yeah. This was a typical, like, if you want to take a career as far as a game goes. That first drive, good. You know, he kept us in the game. He, you know, led us down to a late field goal in the first half. The third quarter was absolutely terrible. Led us to a couple of late field goals in the fourth quarter. Ugh, those turnovers, man. Those turnovers. Another fourth quarter turnover.
Yeah.
The defense bailed him out. The defense bailed him out, getting that 3-and-out.
Yeah.
How often do we say that?
Yeah, I mean, like we said, the defense is still not good, and it's getting worse. We'll have the Gus Bradley and total defensive conversation a lot this offseason, for sure. I think depending on who the head coach is going to be, new GM or not, like, that's – his job is certainly up in the air, kind of like just about everybody right now. But still, like – the defense in general this season hasn't won us games. You know what I mean? No, like, game sealing interception. No, you know, like,
recovery
for touchdown. It's never won us a game, but it's generally given the offense an opportunity to win the game for us, right? Very few games the defense just completely shit the bed and the offense couldn't do anything. And this is another one of those games where the defense did like just enough to, if we have offensive heroics, it'll be enough. The defense will give us enough to be able to do that.
How much different would this the narrative of our season be if Merrick would have caught that interception? 8-6 in the playoffs. Like, fuck. When it comes down to those little plays, man, it comes down to making the plays. And at the very last second, there was 4 guys, or 5 guys, actually. Carr, Zay Jones, and the snapper, holder, and the kicker. Those 5 dudes. Those 5 dudes. You got to execute, man. Any one of those dudes fuck up, and the game is over.
People making fun of the Raiders for paying Daniel Carlson $16 million.
That's why you pay him the money.
That's why, because he can do that, right? He can do it.
Dude, he didn't. You see his body language after the field goal? He just turned back around and kind of started to set up like nothing. Just all right, one more time. Just like practice.
Yep.
Just do it again.
Ice in the veins.
You know what that reminded me of? That reminded me of a long time ago. I was young. I was like in junior high, maybe. I think like 7th grade or even 6th grade. And my brother and I used to always buy 2 newspapers. We would buy one but take 2. Of those little vending machines.
In your face, LA Times.
In your face. No, with Orange County Register.
Oh, my bad.
So we would cut out brackets. This was before printable brackets and all that shit. Mm. We would cut out brackets for the NCAA tournament. And I picked Santa Clara to win. They were like the 15th ranked Santa Clara team. And they had a young Steve Nash, freshman, starting point guard. And he was sitting there, and they were down by 1. He got fouled in the very first game, so they were playing the 2nd seed. And the first time I ever heard this phrase was ice water in his veins. He's a little pimply-faced freshman. He goes up, and he sinks 2 free throws. Boom, like nothing. And he's just like, there's no affect in his face, just nothing, just stone. Yeah. And the announcer was like, this young man's got ice water in his veins. And I was like, yeah. That sounds cool. Ice water. Veins.
So veiny. And then in the spirit of that, Daniel Carson, same thing. Ice water in the veins. So Rich Bisaccia, he might be the most conservative coach in football, right? Like he's always going to punt, always going to go for field goals. But because he's a special teams coach, yet again, we got another fake punt that worked.
He knew that shit was going to work.
It worked. He's 2 for 2 on fake punts, and they've been working great.
Who else but a special teams coach knows a down and distance and where you are in the field? Okay, they're not going to come after us because it's too close to their side. They don't want to like screw it up. That was a great call, man.
Great acting job by him, yes. Too, because that was the weird play where like they said it was a first down. And then the refs came back and said, nope, never mind. It's a fourth and one. And Rich Bisaccia is like, this is bullshit. I'm so pissed. Let's go, punt unit. Damn it. Fake punt. So Daylon Leavitt, right? He's been the guy with the carry on fake punts twice, our safety. He's 2 for 2 on getting first downs on 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1. Josh Jacobs, 2 for 7 on 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1 on getting the first down. We should just do fake punts on every 3rd and 1. Right?
Yeah, right.
It'll work every time, according to the stats.
We're just being super conservative. Don't mind us.
Yeah. We don't want to risk a turnover or a sack. We're just gonna do a fake punt right here on 3rd and 1.
It's a fake. I used to hate that in Madden when you do a fake punt and then or a fake kick and Pat Summerall right away. It's a fake. Like, dude, can you not tell my opponent that I'm faking it?
All right, so playoff picture. This is the playoff picture, obviously, before the game ended, right? Raiders now 7-7. Browns now 7-7. We got the tiebreaker over the Browns. We get the tiebreaker over the Ravens. We got the tiebreaker over the Steelers doesn't matter because they have the tie, so we'll never have the same. Tiebreaker over the Dolphins. Tiebreaker currently over the Broncos, who we play on Sunday. I mean, 7-7? With these guys, because like I said multiple weeks ago, it's like, oh man, you know, we're going to need to get at least like 10 games to get into the playoffs. And that may still be true. But with our schedule, we may not need, like, we play all these guys. So if we can, because not only is obviously us beating the Browns good for us because it bumps us up, it bumps the guy ahead of us down, right? So, like, our schedule, while tough going forward, like, we got the Colts coming up, we got the Chargers and Broncos, our last 3 games, right? Broncos, then Colts, then Chargers, I believe. Last 3 games, right? Mm-hmm. Colts, look, obviously, wild card in there. Chargers, wild card Gangster. In there. And then and Broncos, also in there. So not only do beating them notches us up, but it drops down the guys that are ahead of us in the playoff race.
Yeah, we're already in the playoffs, man. I don't know that another loss, we're able to get in with 9. We just got to keep winning. We got to keep playing.
But this is what I'm talking about. Like, let's say we go 2-1, right? Let's say we beat the Colts and the Chargers in those two, right? We got tiebreakers over everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if anyone else is 9-7, other than the Bills, We got the tie, break.
Though, man. That tie with the Pittsburgh. I said this 2 weeks ago. That ties fucking worries me because those ties end up coming back to get you. And we need to jump over three teams to get into the seventh spot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sam, same thing, man. I said it a couple weeks ago. That tie really fucks things up.
I really like this lower third because not only do I see Sam with his sweet cowboy hat and doing duck lips, but it covers up your face, Soto. So it just adds so much to the screen.
It does, you know, doesn't it? That's a 10-gallon right there.
So again, it sounds crazy with how bad we've been playing and obviously a really ugly game today, but this is what we, this is, I think that this happens to us all the time. So like we think of our internal problems, our internal struggles, all the, you know, coach gone, front office a mess, Darren Waller hurt, Henry Ruggs going to jail. Like, oh, we think of all these problems. Other teams have a lot of problems too, right? We get so kind of stuck in our Raiders bubble that we don't look at other teams and realize like the problems that they've been facing as well. So, certainly not a lost cause for this team. The rate, you know, chances of going to playoffs still very low, but definitely. I mean, I think it's safe to say that the Raiders still hold their own destiny. Right? We went out, go 10-7. Almost positive we'd go to the playoffs.
Because it would be off the Chargers. The Chargers can't win three. We would have the tie. Then we would have the playoff. What's the
same with Colts?
Yeah,
same with Colts. Colts would be 10-7. We'd have the tiebreaker over them. Chargers, but they beat us once, so I don't know how that would go tiebreaker wise.
Well, we'd be over the Colts because we beat them head to head.
Yeah, Colts. We would. Broncos. So we would. Chargers, I'm not sure, but again, for like seating wise and stuff, I don't know where we'd be.
I don't give a fuck as long as we're in.
yeah, man. I mean, you take away the two Chiefs losses, and you look at what this team accomplished outside of those two Chiefs losses. We'd be 7-5 with wins over the Ravens, Browns, Steelers, Dolphins, Broncos. All these like just in the hunt playoff teams. Like we get so caught up in the things that we've messed up on, and it's important, right? We got to find out what the mistakes are, isolate them and correct them. But we just get so negative sometimes that we forget like all the shit that we've accomplished this season, despite the worst luck, I think, of any season of any team, like other than like the Saints in a Katrina year or something like that. Like you can't have more adversity that this team has faced, and still we're like staring down the playoffs. Still,
I don't know that we're focusing on negative. We're just focusing on the inconsistency, because for all those good wins, we lost to the Bears, the Giants, the Washington football team. Like those were games we had no business losing. Yeah. No business losing. The Bengals, they're a good team. I can see we lose to them. The way we lost to them was a little funky. It was close at the end, but we still lost. Okay. The Chiefs games, they just have our number and they shove it up our ass every time we see them, so whatever. But, dude, the Chargers game was close till the end. The Bears game, we fucking lost. No business losing that game. No business losing the game against Washington. No business losing the game, against the Giants. That's the issue. That's the issue that I have, is I can't get too high or too low on this team because they're so inconsistent.
Yeah,
and it's like they're consistently inconsistent. So one week it's Carb turning the ball over twice in the fourth quarter. The second week is us not being able to pick up 2nd-1, 3rd-1, 4th-1 to be able to keep the ball and ice the game. Another week is a DB dropping an interception.
I think you're speaking exactly to my point, because every single good team has lost to a trash team, right?
We've lost to three.
We haven't lost to anyone as bad as Jacksonville.
It doesn't matter how bad they are. These are teams you should beat. You were in the position to win.
My point being, all these great teams have lost to shit teams and have been inconsistent at times. You know what I'm saying?
Pick one. Let's pick a team out of here and let's blow up the record. Let's see it.
Patriots.
Okay, let's see a shit team that they've lost to. First week of the year, they lost to the Dolphins.
You look up Patriots. I'll look up Titans.
And that's it. The Saints still had their starting quarterback during that game. They lost to the Bucks. They lost to the Cowboys. And they lost to the Colts. So they haven't lost to a shit team. The first game of the year.
Titans lost to the Bears. They lost to the Jets. Bears, Jets, and Jaguars. Yeah, that's more consistent. Those three worst teams in the three Raiders losses, right?
Well, when were those losses?
Jaguars was just last week.
Well, yeah, they don't have the best player in almost probably in football. One of the best handful of players in football.
But they beat the Patriots and Steelers sandwiched around that without him too. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, they didn't have Derrick Henry, but they even without Derrick Henry, they beat the Pats and the Steelers.
Yeah,
but so that's my point. Like, I'm not saying it's okay for the Raiders to be inconsistent. But what I'm saying is these other great teams, specifically in the AFC, sometimes more inconsistent than the Raiders have been this year.
You can't say that because they have more wins.
Yeah, but they've lost to shittier teams. Again, like...
I get what you're trying to say, RJ, but your argument falls flat. We have been more inconsistent because we've lost to teams that we should have beaten, and we've lost more games in general.
I'd say the Titans are more inconsistent because they've lost to worse teams. Like, they're, you know what I'm saying? Like, their threshold has been worse, right? And we haven't, and they've beaten amazing teams. We haven't, right? Like, you look at this, like, you look at the division leaders, like, got shit kicked in by the Chiefs, lost to the Bengals, right? The division leaders we've lost to, the in the hunt guys we've all beat, and then some trash teams we've lost to. Well, as the Tennessee Titans, like, they've gotten massive wins over, like, great, some of the best teams in the AFC. They've also lost to some of the three worst teams in football.
Whoa, they've lost to two bad teams, the Jets and the Texans. They beat the Jaguars twice. I think you looked at that wrong.
Did I read that wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, so two.
They just lost to the Steelers this last week, which is not a terrible team there in the playoff hunt as well. But yeah, it's I get what you're saying. They lost to two really bad teams, but they've that's what I'm saying, RJ.
It's an epidemic this season.
We don't have the top end talent around us to be able to have the luxury of losing to teams that we should beat. Which
no one does.
We did a couple times. Well, not necessarily. Teams have done it. Like you said, the Titans have done it. The Titans have lost to two teams that they should have beat.
And it cost them like a one or two seed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all.
Again, now you're changing that. Now you're changing the narrative. Oh, it cost them one or two seed, but they're still in the playoffs, and we're not. That's what I'm saying. Is they can afford to lose to those bad teams and still be in the playoffs. We can't do that.
Well, we might make it to the playoffs.
So I know we need to. We got to keep moving. We got to beat two teams that are going to be in the playoffs that are currently in the playoffs. We got to beat two of those, and then one that's in the hunt. Same record as us.
So coming up next,
how nasty was that Bridgewater freaking knockout?
I was just going to say, we got the Broncos coming up on Sunday. Short week. It should have been a long week. Thanks for nothing, NFL and Roger Goodell. No Teddy Bridgewater, almost for sure. He's still in concussion protocol.
Dude, really that was bad nasty,
hit.
Dude.
Really, really bad hit. Yesterday, right?
Yeah, it was yesterday. I saw it and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
because he was falling already. And then the defender kind of speared him into the ground. And he landed face first. He was out cold.
Broncos easily the easier team of the last three that we had. Easiest team remaining on the schedule. Already beat them once. And they may not have their starting, probably not going to have their starting quarterback Bridgewater back to Drew Lock. Still a solid team up and down. But again, another one that
we should win.
We should even as like weird and ugly as today's game was. A game we should win. Got them on a short week. We'll see where it takes us. All right, guys, thank you so much. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, tell your friends. The channel is growing. Thanks to all of y'all. We really, really appreciate it. We'll do a video on the Raiders Pro Bowlers. We have three Pro Bowlers and some random votes. You're going to lose your mind, Soda, when I tell you how high Jonathan Abram was. The Pro Bowl voting. You're going to lose your mind. So we'll talk about that. Right. Probably do that tomorrow. We'll have a regular Wednesday show and all other kinds of fun, awesome stuff. So until then, knock on wood if you're with me.